Okay, so it's time for me to get into the word. You know, I remember years ago, there was this lady who came up to me after the service, and she said, "Pastor, you made that statement. It was just like God speaking a rhema word into my heart." And she shared the statement with me. And I said, "I don't remember making that statement." And she said, "Oh, yes, yes, you did. You did. You did make that statement. It was so clear. It lifted my spirit up, and I knew I had an answer from God. You know, it was a rhema word just for my spirit." And I said, "Well, I guess the Lord must love you very much. He used that statement to bless your heart." And I went back home, and of course, you know, at that time we used to have cassettes. And I began to listen to the cassette again. And strangely, I never made that statement. "Pastor, what are you saying to us?" I'm just saying this. For the next half an hour or so, I want you to put aside everything else. I want you to sit there and focus upon what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear. Because, you know, you can hear the Holy Spirit speaking in a specific way. I may be saying different things, but the Lord can always minister to you through a very specific word. So I want you to just pay attention the next just 30 or more minutes. That's all you have. To hear what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear. I've been speaking over the last couple of times about faith and building your faith in the Lord. So I want to go back to Jude, verse 20. Let me just read this to you. "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith, continually progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher. Pray in the Holy Spirit." Now, it's interesting because last Sunday, Pastor Stefan spoke on buts, and we may not have enjoyed the title, but anyway, we talk about the buts. And here is one of those big buts that we have. Jude is writing about all the different things. If you read it, it's very gloom and doom kind of thing. Just a short little message, but it doesn't sound very good. And he says, you know, all these things are going to happen in the world. There are going to be people who will come and mock you, people who want to live just for themselves, fleshly appetites, all those things. But he says, but you, people of God, you need to build yourselves up. When you see all these things happening, you've got to build yourselves up. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now, this is my responsibility. There are certain things that God will not do for me. My responsibility is to build my faith. It is not God's responsibility. It is not somebody else's responsibility to build my faith. I have to build my faith. See, God will not do certain things for me. He will not deny my flesh for me. He will not renew my mind for me. He will not feed my spiritual man for me. He will not build my faith. I've got to build my faith. And this is so important for us to understand. Sometimes we give, you know, excuses, or I'm not being fed, or that message is not good enough. You've got to build yourselves up, especially in trying times like this when we cannot meet as a congregation in church. You have to do it in your homes. There's nobody there to check on you. You've got to build yourself up. Now, I shared also Luke 22 and verse 32, where Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says this to Peter. He says, "Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you." The enemy can ask permission to do things to us. "He has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you." And what did he pray for? "That your faith should not fail." Not that the enemy will not come near you, the enemy will not test you, but that your faith will not fail you. "And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." So the main thing is, because my faith is a holy faith, the enemy wants to steal that faith from me. If he can take me and put me through all kinds of situations and shake me around where my faith begins to fail, then he has succeeded. So the thing is, you know, I can lose a car, I can lose my house, I can lose a job, even spouses can be lost. But if I lose my faith, if my faith fails me, then everything else collapses. What is permanent is faith. 1 Corinthians 13:13, there remains these three things: faith, hope, and love. Now you notice that faith and hope are almost together. They're almost alike. When I lose that, then I've lost everything. You know, Peter and Judas both denied the Lord. But Judas lost his faith. Somehow he believed that he could never be forgiven. Somehow he thought, you know, God will not be able to reach me. Now that I've done this terrible thing, God will not be able to reach me. See, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 talks about if the wicked man forsakes his way, the unrighteous man, his thoughts, then the Lord, you know, will have mercy. The Lord will have compassion. The Lord will forgive abundantly. That's what the Word of God says. But Judas did not really allow that scripture to soak into his being, whereas Peter did. Peter kept his faith. Just like Paul, when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, listen, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about how do I keep my faith? How do I keep my faith? Well, the first thing is, you've got to know the Lord. You've got to know the Lord. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. You've got to know your God. And I want to invite you, if you're listening in for the first time, or maybe you have listened in a few times, one of our members invited you to listen in. And if you do not know the Lord, I want you to know that you can. Jesus made it possible. He did everything to make it possible for you to come and know God in a very personal way. Bible says God so loved you that he gave his only son so that you could come and know him. All you have to do is say, God, I can come to you because Jesus said, I can come through his name. He said, he is the way to you and I can come to you. So I'm going to come to you. And I want to invite you, if you have never ever come to know God as yet, this morning I want to invite you to come to know him in a special way. But I want to talk about, you know, there can be no, if there's no infrastructure to a relationship, then it's going to be almost impossible for us to exercise faith. That's why Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, how many of you know what a joint account is? And if you know a joint account, you know you will never have a joint account with a stranger. Usually it's among spouses, right? Husband and wife, they will have a joint account because there is this trust in one another. They know one another. Oh man, I remember, you know, years ago, there used to be these guys writing letters and they would say, I remember this one writing to me, we know that you are a pastor, etc. And Imelda Marcos trusts you. And she wants you to have a certain amount of money, but all her money is stuck up in this bank. And if you would just give us your account number and send us a certain amount, then she's going to transfer all her money into your account. Come on, you and I know that that's a terrible thing. Right? Because you are a pastor, we know that you can be trusted kind of thing. How many have been scammed by getting in touch with people online? And eventually giving up all their wealth to someone that they don't really know. There was no relationship. So business people will tell you never, ever, if you're smart enough, don't invest with someone you do not know. So the whole thing comes down to have faith in God. Now, the only way to have faith in God is to know your God. You need to understand it must go beyond your just mind into your very beings. I must know God. I must know God. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Have faith in the Lord your God. You will be upheld. You will be upheld. Micah chapter 6 and verse 3. I mean, he's talking to the people. God is speaking to his people and his heart is literally breaking as he begins to say, testify against me. What have I done to you that you have now turned away from me? That I have made you so tired, it seems. Testify against me. God's heart is kind of like breaking because he says, man, I really carried you. I cared so much for you. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. He says, you know, can a mother forget the baby that she's breastfeeding? Can she forget the one that she bore, she gave birth to in this world? She said, even if she forgets, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. And this is the God that you and I serve. He's a God who really cares. He's a God of compassion. And the Bible says, you know what? The verse that divides the Bible into two, that verse is Psalm 118 and verse 8. It says this, better to put your trust in the Lord your God than to put your confidence in man. That's something the verse that divides the Bible into two. Better to put your confidence, your trust in God than to put your confidence in man. So the first thing is, I've got to know the Lord in a personal way. I've got to know that He is good. I've got to know that the plans that He has for me are good plans. I've got to know that whatever He is doing in my life, in my family, and the circumstances that I'm facing, even if they are negative, that all things are actually working for good, because I have a good God, a God who is compassionate, a God who is loving. That's the God you and I have, and we've got to get to know Him. And one of the most wonderful ways that God presents Himself is showing Himself as a father. Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father." And He gives the story of the prodigal son and how, you know, God is all for us and not against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let every circumstance rise. God is for us. Amen. So first of all, know your Lord. Secondly, I want to say, understand your limitations. Understand your limitations. See, there are questions in life that I have no answer to. Therefore, I've decided I'm not going to try and invent them. You know, sometimes people come and say, "Pastor, you know, I had this dream, and in my dream I saw this and I saw that." And I would say, "Well, my name is David, not Joseph, so I don't interpret dreams. My name is not Daniel, I don't interpret dreams." But the point is, I don't know. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to say, "I don't know." We kind of create things so that, you know, we hope that the person will be helped. But actually, we have to come to a place where we say, "Listen, I have to know my limitations. If I don't know, I have to say, I don't know." There are things in life that I cannot explain. There are things in life that I cannot change. Have you ever heard of self-raising flour? Self-raising flour is you take flour and then you add a little bit of baking soda, a couple of teaspoons, and the thing begins to expand. And you know what? No matter how much of baking soda I take, I'm never going to reach the height of Arvin. I cannot control that. This is my height. This is the way I have been made, all right? And I can't control that. And I have to also understand that there are things that I am not responsible. I am responsible for certain things, but also there are things that I am not responsible for. Brother Gore sent me something. I will read this to you. And this is very interesting. Listen to what happens. This is this guy. He's talking about his wife. He said, "My wife felt exhausted. She was irritable and grumpy until one day, suddenly, she changed. One day when I said to her, 'I'm going to have a few beers with friends,' she said, 'Okay.'" This is not me, all right? This is just something that was sent to me. "My son said to her, 'I'm doing poorly in all subjects in college.' My wife replied, 'Okay, you will recover. And if you don't, you can repeat the semester, but you pay for your own tuition.' My daughter said, 'I smashed the car.' My wife replied, 'Take it to the car shop, get it fixed.' All of us were worried to see these reactions coming from mom. We suspected that she had gone to the doctor and was prescribed with some pill called 'I don't give a damn.' We then proposed to do an intervention with my wife to remove her from any possible addiction she had towards some anti-tantrum medication. But then she gathered us around her and explained. It took me a long time to realize that each person is responsible for their life. It took me years to discover that my anguish, anxiety, my depression, my courage, my insomnia, my stress does not solve your problems, but only aggravates mine. I am not responsible for the actions of anyone. And it's not my job to provide happiness. Therefore," she said, "I came to the conclusion that my duty is to remain calm and let each one of you solve what corresponds to you." I thought that was really good, because there are certain things that I am not responsible for. I'm not responsible for the behavior or the actions of people. Amen. We cannot help it when things like that happen. What I want us to understand is this, that every problem is temporary. Every problem, from the teething problems to teenage problems to midlife crisis, whatever it is, financial problems, marriage problems. You know, one guy was asked what his favorite verse was. I told you, he said his favorite statement is, "And it came to pass." And I looked up that statement. It's mentioned 727 times in the Bible. "And it came to pass," which means that everything is temporary. Everything is temporary. So never apply a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And that's our problem. We say things that we should not be saying. You know, we just blurt it out. No wonder David said in Psalm 141 and verse 3, he said, "God, set a guard over my mouth and watch over the doors of my lips." I had this very close friend of mine. When he started to work, man, he had a high position. He was very qualified, very intelligent, full of potential. And he worked for this company, and he was really coming up. So one day, you know, but of course, he always would complain that his boss was a terrible guy, very stupid. And so one day they had this big dinner, and he was sitting at the table with his boss. He decided, you know, he was going to tell his boss certain thing, but he didn't have the courage to do it, so he drank and drank and drank. And then finally he got so drunk, and he stood up and he pointed at his boss, and he said, "I want to tell you something." Guess what? He did tell the boss something. So what happened was, went back home, the wife was so embarrassed. She said, "You know, you have really ruined your whole career," and said, "Go back tomorrow, tell your boss you are sorry." So early in the morning, he went there, knocked on the boss's door, came inside. He apologized. He said, "I was so drunk." Boss smiled and gave him his termination letter. And for the next few months, my good friend didn't hold a job. He went through turmoil just because he applied a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And isn't that what happens when we begin to apply permanent solutions? We do things. There are divorces that take place that people regret later on. We say things that we cannot take back anymore. Different things begin to happen because people, you know, they kind of like resign from a job, you know. And so you see many from one job to another. Many young people have held so many jobs because they do things straight away. And then they regret it later on. Relationships are broken. Divorces happen. The worst case, where the suicide takes place. Permanent solution to a temporary problem. So understand that we are limited in so many ways. This is what David said. Listen to what David said. And I think this is so good. Psalm 131, verse 1 and verse 2. He said, "Lord, my heart is meek before you. I don't consider myself better than others. I'm content to pursue matters. I'm content to not pursue matters that are over my head, such as your complex mysteries and wonders that I'm not ready yet to understand." In other words, he's saying, I don't look down on people. I don't think that I am better off than others. And there are many things that I will not understand in life. And so I'm not going to try to understand them. Help me to just realize that I am a limited human being. Limited human being. Well, let me just give you one more point. Not only do I need to know the Lord and understand my limitations, if I want to keep my faith, I've got to learn the art of leaning. The art of leaning. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So the leaning has to do with the trusting. If I trust in Him, lean on the Lord. Don't lean on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. What do I do with the limitations that I have? I do not try to make something out of it. I submit my limitations to the unlimitable God. That's what I have to do. I have to say, Lord, I trust in you, and I just have to rely that you can do something with this. My understanding is failing me, but Lord, don't let my faith fail me. It's interesting, in Luke chapter 17, something happens. The disciples come to Jesus. They're talking about forgiveness, and Jesus says this: even when people sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times they come back to you and say, I repent, you must forgive them. Look at the response of the disciples. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. They didn't say, Lord, increase my love. They didn't say, Lord, increase my heart of grace towards people. They just said, Lord, increase my faith. What were they saying? They were saying, Lord, you know, I can't do this. When Jesus said, forgive 7 times in a day, you know, 7 times, 7 times, 70 times, 7, even at another occasion. It's like, how can I do this? And what is God's answer? Have faith in God, which simply means if you just trust in your God, He will come through for you to give you the love that you need increased, the grace that you need increased. It's the abundance of grace that He pours into our hearts, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. How do you think Stephen could forgive people who were stoning him? Increase my faith, that you will come through at the hardest moment. I'm not talking just about forgiveness of sins. I'm talking about going through some moments in your life where you find it is so difficult. Sometimes you live with people or you're working with people. How can I get along with such people? How do I handle this situation? Lord, increase my faith, my trust in you, that you will come through for me. I know it's a difficult thing to say, but God, you know, instead of saying, God, give me more love for people, or God, give me more grace so that I can go through this trouble, He says, no. You need to have faith in God, that your God loves you, knows what you are going through, and He can come through strongly for you. That's how you keep your faith. Increase my faith. If the apostles who followed Jesus saw Him face to face, all the miracles that He did, had to say, increase my faith. I think you and I need a little help too, don't we? To say, Lord, especially when we are going through hard times, what do I do, Lord? Increase my faith. Cause it to grow stronger. Help me, Lord, to build my faith. Help me to build it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Increase our faith. I trust that this message has ministered to you in some way or another. Because sometimes, you know, we begin to think, Lord, I feel so limited. I don't know what to do. That's being human. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do it on our own. So why don't I just pray for you as we bring the service to a close. Amen. Father, right now, I just bring each person who's watching this, struggling through different areas of their lives. Oh God, if you could just know who you are and all that you want to do for us, and your heart, how it bleeds to just say, I love you so much that I would give you Jesus. Don't you think I would come to your aid when you go through difficult times? Open our understanding to know who you really are. Help us to also understand our limitations, that we can only do so much because we are just so finite. But you are the infinite God who's always there waiting to come, the unlimitable God. You cannot be limited, and you can come to our aid. God, teach us to lean more on you than the understanding that we have, all the resources that we have, all the things that we depend upon. Teach us to just lean on you instead of leaning on all these things. So when the mountains cannot be removed, and there's no parting of the sea, and there are no answers that come to the questions of life that we have, teach us, Lord, to just say, I will trust in you. So we ask, Lord, that you would now bless your people, Father. So I ask that you would now lift up your hands. Then I'm just going to bless you in the name of the Lord. So now may the Lord so bless you and keep you, cause His face to so shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, give you peace in all your homes. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the abundant love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the blessed communion, intimacy, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you. In Jesus' name, have a great week, all week.